We got message one here this morning, and I'm here trusting the Lord this morning. I think Brother Jay appreciated the picture that Brother Jay gave us about feasting this morning. And I feel like I guess the disciples felt whenever they were supposed to serve 5,000 people with five loaves and two fishes. And they were just delivering the food, and God gave the increase. So I think that I feel that way this morning, that's what we want to do. Well, it's no secret what's happening this week. Brother Jay already mentioned it's Thanksgiving Day on Thursday. And we have heard a lot of good things about Thanksgiving. Last Sunday evening, had a Thanksgiving song service. And I thought about probably would be fitting to have a message about Thanksgiving. And I should just go ahead and give you the title right away. I'm going to just write it up here. That way you can be thinking about it. Gratefulness, Character Builder. That's what is going to be the title for the message this morning. And I just want to have just a little thing for the children. Children, have you heard of the saying? Some people say a million thanks. Have you heard that? Somebody is very grateful and they say a million thanks or thanks a million. Well, how many times do you think a person will thank God throughout their lifetime? Do you think he's going to thank God a million times? Well, let's imagine this way. Brother Howard Bean says that the average life expectancy here in North America is 73 years old. We thank the Lord that there's people that last longer than that, even though not everybody lasts that long. But let's imagine that you have a 73-year-old person. And, of course, we're going to give him the first 3 years of his life to learn how to talk and how to communicate real well. No, but children do learn to say thank you even before. But let's imagine that he lives to be, 70 years. Okay, 73 years, we're going to deduct 3 for his early years. So we're going to find out how many times will a 73-year-old person thanks God in his lifetime. Okay, so you ready? So how many days are in a year? Children? Right? Okay, so we got 365 days times 70 years of his life. Okay? So we're going to do the math right quick. You'll make sure I do it right, okay? So we're going to just put the zero here. 7 times 5 is 35. Carry 3. 7 times 6, 42, 45. Carry 4. And then 7 times 3 is 21, and 4 is 25. So that is 25,550 days. And let's imagine that this person thanks God for every meal. We should do that. Thank God for every meal. So that's 3 meals a day. And let's imagine that he thanks God before he goes to bed. So let's imagine that he does it 4 times per day. So we're going to see how many times it is. So 4 times 0, 4 times 5 is 20, carry 2, 22, carry 2, 22, and 4 times 2 is 8, plus 2 is 102,200 times. 102,200 times. Boy, if he wants to thank God a million times, he's going to have to do it 10 times of that, right? Give or take. So I just want to encourage you children to thank God. To thank God for the blessings that he has given to us. Well, hope you can think about that. Brother Howard Bean tells a story of a man that he wanted to give to all his customers a million thanks. So he printed a book with the word thanks a million times. I don't know how thick it was, the book. I don't know how many times, how many pages a million words thanks would make. But that's what he printed and he passed them out to his customers. That would be kind of interesting to see a book like that. Well, let me see if I can tie all these together. Last Sunday, we were studying about David's character and how faithful he was. And it always amazes me that the description that Saul's servant said about David, he says like this, "Then answered one of the servants and said, 'Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite that is cunning in playing and mighty valiant man, a man of war, prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him.'" What an amazing character that he was. What about you? What about you? So I want to think about our character this morning and how we can improve our character by being grateful. You know that grateful can improve our character. That's what we're going to try to accomplish this morning. What is character? Character, the dictionary says the character is the peculiar quality or the sum of qualities by which a person or a thing is distinguished from others. The stamp impressed by nature, education, or habit. That which a person or thing really is, nature or disposition. Now, I like this definition better. It's the moral quality. It's the principles and motives that control the life as a man of character. His character saves him from suspicion. That's like an example. But it's the moral quality, the principles and motives that control the life. The motives and principles that are inside of you that control your life, that's what character is. So I'm like, okay, what's the difference between character and personality? Because a lot of times we get the two mixed up. We use them interchangeably. We say, okay, that's his character, that's his personality. Well, I found it fascinating that personality is that which constitutes the extension of a person. Well, that's what character was. But then it says the externally evident aspects of the character or behavior of a person. You see? So the character is the motives and the principles that are inside of you that govern your life, that lead you. And then personality is how it comes out. And we, of course, we all have different personalities. And we can have a principle, for example, of gratefulness. That's what we're going to study this morning. And we're going to express it probably in different ways because we are different personalities. So I hope that is helpful for you to think about that. So we want to talk about how can we improve in being grateful. I believe, of course, the description that the Saul's servant gave of David, it doesn't say that David was a grateful person. But I guarantee you that he was. Given all these principles that guided the life of David, I guarantee you that he was a grateful person. Grateful means having a due sense of benefits received, kindly disposed toward one from whom a favor has been received, willing to acknowledge and repay or give thanks for benefits, a grateful heart, a grateful mind. Thankful means impressed with a sense of kindness, receive and ready to acknowledge it and being grateful. So I'm guessing that grateful and thankfulness is the same thing. So how do we become more thankful? What are some principles and motives that we need to have in our hearts as a character that our individual personalities can use to display true thankfulness? How do we do this? Because I was thinking about this, being thankful and grateful, I had to think about all the times that we need to teach the children to say thank you. So we have a problem. The problem is that we don't come with a default setting to be thankful. Okay, you know what default setting is, right? I was debating whether to preach about default setting or about this, but I guess that was beside the point. The word default says an opinion that is selected automatically unless an alternative is specified. You got that? You get a new phone, you need a, you get a new piece of equipment, and you get it out of the box, and you're going to start running this thing. Guess what the settings are going to be? The default setting. Whatever the company put on those settings, that's where those settings are. So that's why you got to find the settings, and then you have to start altering the settings how you want them. So that's how we come to this world. The default setting is not thankfulness. Okay? We need, because of the sin of man, we bring that sinfulness in us, and definitely we are not thankful people. So we need to try to instill in our children from a very young age this character trait that is gratefulness. Make sure you say thank you. Make sure you say thank you. Did you say thank you? Oh, I forgot. Well, when are you going to remember, right? So we got to keep on doing that. And we're not an exception. Many things of us, many times we take things for granted, especially whenever we think about the benefits and blessings that we have from God. So I'm going to give you a couple helps to overcome unthankfulness and to be more thankful and grateful. And it's not like we need to just do it this week because it's Thanksgiving. Like Brother Jay already said, we are quick to say that we need to learn thankfulness any time of the year. I just thought it was fitting this week, Thanksgiving. And we're not going to have a topic on Wednesday. You're going to have testimonies. So I decided, let's just talk about these helps to being thankful. And that way, build our character in gratefulness. Somebody said, I didn't have this written down, but I read it somewhere, that gratefulness is the mother of all virtues. So I just wanted you to think about that. It's the mother of all virtues. And that's why we need this in our character. Number one, what helps to overcome unthankfulness? Number one, I wrote down, overcome the default setting of discontent. Overcome the default setting of discontent. Do you know that we are pretty much discontented people? If we don't fight this default setting, we're very discontented people. Maybe you're not, but I sure am. I think we all are guilty of this. Always in need of something else and something bigger and something faster. Right? We always hoping for something bigger, for a faster car, for a faster computer, for a better preacher, something prettier, some more money, a better job, a better boss. Maybe if I could only shoot a deer like Lauren, or if I could preach like Papa Sim, or I could sing like Brother Doug, if I could only have a house like whatever, whoever, I'll be happy when I get married, or when I am rich, or when I'm by myself, or when my check arrives in the mail. You know what I'm talking about? Can you identify with any of them? I think we all can. We want a bigger something, a bigger gun, a better bicycle, a better whatever. Well, David, a man of character, a man after God's own heart, the Bible says, he found satisfaction in God. He quotes there in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." I shall not want. David was satisfied with what God had given him. Now, David went through the meal, but he found what Apostle Paul found in Philippians 4. In Philippians 4:11 says like this, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Wow. "I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Wow, what a testimony of Paul. But how many times we forget this truth? Jesus said in Luke 12:15, and he said unto them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And so many times we forget that. If I can have an extra vehicle, if I can have a faster whatever, if I have this, if I have that, then I will be happy. I like this thought that I found in Max Lucado's book. He gives this thought that heaven doesn't know me as a Hispanic that drives the Dodge Dakota. Or you put in your own scenario. Or the man that drives the green combine. Or the man that, or the lady that can cook 3 pies in 2 minutes. Whatever. I don't know what y'all do or what y'all have. But heaven doesn't see us that way. It says like this. The point is that what is valuable in God's sight is who we really are, not what we have. See, we as human beings, we get it backwards, you know. We talk about a famous person in Lawrence County that has a multimillionaire. We need to make sure everybody knows, yeah, that's the multimillionaire. Well, heaven doesn't do that. Heaven just says who you are. In heaven, that's what it happens. So what are we going to do? What are you overcoming the default setting of discontent? Discontent is a plague. It's an awful thing. We are guilty of that. A story is told of a missionary that went to an island where a colony of lepers lived. The last day that he was there, the missionary, he asked if anyone had a favorite hymn that wanted to sing. And this lady that didn't have ears left and her nose was almost gone raised her hand, which had no fingers left, and asked if they could sing, "Count Your Blessings." Count your blessings. That's amazing. That's amazing. We have so much, and yet so many times we forget what our blessings are. So ungrateful. I found a quote here. It says, "If a fellow isn't thankful for what he's got, he isn't likely to be thankful for what he's going to get." And here's another quote. "He is a wise man who does not grieve for the things which he has not, but rejoices for those which he has." So what are we going to do? Are we going to overcome this setting, the default setting of discontent? That's the first thing we need to do, is get over those things of discontent and be thankful. Number two, the second thing I would like to look at is a helpful, remember we're talking about helps to overcome unthankfulness and to be more grateful in building our character. Number two is see what God has done, big and small, and thank Him. Big and small, and thank Him. Ephesians 5:20 says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Colossians 3:17, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Go with me to Psalm 136. I don't know if I'm going to take the time to read it all, but Psalm 136, I hope that your mind goes immediately. That's the psalm that repeats, "For His mercy endure forever," in every verse. And I'm just going to pull a few things. But think about it. See what God has done, the big and the small. And I started to think, you know, He started with all the big things that God has done, which they all are big. But at the end, He gives something that maybe most of us don't even think about. Well, I shouldn't say it that way. We do give thanks for our food. He says in the last verse, in verse 25, "Who giveth food to all flesh." But just think about all the different things the psalmist is thankful for. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto God, the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever." And then he goes on and explaining, "To Him who alone doeth great wonders, to Him that by wisdom made the heavens, to Him that stretches out the earth above the waters, to Him that made great lights, the sun, the moon, and stars.
He smote Egypt in their firstborn and brought Israel among them in all those things that God did for the children of Israel. And he keeps on saying all those great things, for his mercy endureth forever. For his mercy endureth forever. And then he says in verse 25, who giveth food to all flesh. I'm glad that we have a tradition to bow our heads before we eat. And we thank God for the food. I'm sure sometimes you're like me, you bow your head, and I don't know if I prayed or not, but we at least went through the motion. But I hope that we can be more conscious of what we are doing. You know, I remember somebody praying that God send the rain to make these things grow. And now these potatoes, for example, these potatoes, and we are here to enjoy them. Just think about where the food comes from. Food doesn't just grow in the grocery store. God gave the increase. Thank God for that. Enjoy the little things. Here's a quote. I got two quotes for you. Enjoy the little things. For one day, you may look back and realize they were the big things. In life, one has a choice to take one of two paths, to wait for some special day or to celebrate each special day. And I am so guilty of this so many times. I go through ordinary life every day, and I just don't even think about it. This is a gift from God. I don't even think about that. I'm waiting for that special day, when today is a special day. So let's learn to see God in the big and the small things and thank Him. Thank Him. That's what the Bible says, giving thanks always. Don't wait till your meal comes around. Don't wait. You can thank God any time of the day. You can just say, thank you, Lord, for another day. You'll be driving down the road and you see the beautiful sunrise, and you can thank God for the sunrise. You can thank God for the air that you're breathing. Whatever. Be thankful. Learn to be thankful to God. Number three. And this is a hard one, because I know by experience that we get tempted in things that we preach. But I need to preach this one. Number three, be thankful even in adversity. I was thinking about this, and I needed to put this one somewhere, because that is so true. It's so hard for us as human beings to recognize God in everything, including in adversities. You know, our culture today, we don't want pain. We don't want adversities. Nobody wants adversities. I am hope we never face adversities, but the truth is that we will, and we have already faced adversities in our lives. Can you thank God even in those situations? 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I found these verses in Job. I like the book of Job too, Brother Keith. I know Keith likes the book of Job. I do too. Job 5:17 says, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not that chastening of the Almighty. For he maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in six troubles, yea, in seven there shall no evil touch thee. But God is going to allow adversity in our lives. Guess what? In my case, if I don't go through adversities, I don't learn. My son, Proverbs 3:11, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. There is a correction. There is an aspect of God that not everything is going to be like we think it should be, or pretty, or pleasant. It's going to be some hard things, but it's for our good. For our good. Why can't we learn of Paul and Silas? I read the story again. Paul and Silas, they beat him up.
And they gave him to the jailer and said, don't you dare let him get him out. And he said he thrust him to the innermost part of the prison, to the dungeon, in the hole, wherever they have the most secure place for them, and fastened their feet in the stocks. There they are, stuck in the stocks. They can't move. They can't get out. They can't walk around. There they are, all beat up. And guess what Paul and Silas do? This is nothing but the power of the Holy Spirit in somebody's life. You put me in that situation, I'll cry my eyeballs out. I'm going to start screaming and yelling and trying to kick, but you can't get out. But through the Spirit of God, the Paul and Silas at midnight, they can't sleep. Well, of course they can't sleep. They're in pain. They didn't give them ibuprofen before they went there. They said they prayed. And what did they do? They sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. Wow, what a testimony. So we need to learn to thank God in adversity somehow or another. Number four, thank God for people in your life. Thank God for people in your life. We talk about that a little bit in the Sunday school class about David and all those Israelites. They were strengthening numbers. There was people there, and they didn't take advantage of that. What about us? I know sometimes it's hard to thank God for each other. Listen to these verses. I printed them for you here. 1 Timothy 2:1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And he's talking specifically about people in authority. And sometimes we hardly find the courage or whatever, the honor, to thank God for our authorities. But what about our brotherhood? When was the last time you thanked God for each other? 2 Thessalonians 1:3 says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Now, Paul wrote that about the Thessalonians, not about the Dublinites. What would he write about us? But my point is, we need to thank God for each other. We have a brotherhood. It's not a perfect brotherhood, I can tell you that much, because you got me in here. But we need to thank God for each other. There is a purpose. We think about God, and there's a purpose in God in everything. Keith already quoted that verse, that the steps of good men are ordered by the Lord. And there is a purpose from God in everything, in everyone that comes into our lives. There is a reason why God has you here. Why is it so easy to think otherwise? Can I truly thank God for you as brethren? That's a tough question. Try to answer honestly. So you can see, I found a lot of quotes about Thanksgiving. Here's another quote. Gratitude and attitude are not challenges. They are choices. They're choices. The gratitude and attitude, they're not challenges. Number five, this is the last one, okay? Before you start getting anxious. Let thankfulness rekindle your joy. Let thankfulness rekindle your joy. And I found it fascinating that the fruit of the Spirit doesn't mention gratefulness. But it says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. Well, how can you have joy without being thankful? I don't see how you can say, well, I have joy. I haven't thanked God today, but I am joyful here. That doesn't sound right. Turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 12. Nehemiah chapter 12. We're going to look at here how thankfulness brought joy. Nehemiah 12. Again, I'm not going to read all the verses, but they're dedicating the wall of Jerusalem. In verse 27, we're going to start verse 27 here. And we're going to jump across a little bit here and there. Nehemiah 12, 27 says like this. And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving and with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. 31. Then I brought up the princes of Judah upon the wall and appointed two great companies of them that gave thanks, whereof one went on the right hand upon the wall toward the dung gate. Verse 38. And the other company of them that gave thanks went over against them, and I after them, and the half of the people upon the wall from beyond the tower of the furnace even unto the broad wall. Verse 40. So stood the two companies of them that gave thanks in the house of God, and I and the half of the rulers with me. And then in verse 43, also that day they offer great sacrifices and rejoice, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoice, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. God gave him joy. God gave him joy. Why? Because they were thankful people. It's amazing if you notice in verse 27, 31, 38, and 40, it mentions a phrase, a company of them that gave thanks. That was one word in the Hebrew language. One word. And we make fun of Spanish because Spanish, we have long phrases to say very little, right? Normally, it's the other way around, to have English one word, Spanish has three or four words to explain the same thing. This case is the opposite. The translators, the KJV, didn't know what to put. That's why they are in italics, because it was added words in the KJV. You knew that, right? In italic words in the KJV means that they were added. Company of them that gave thanks. Company of them that gave thanks. In the Spanish, simply they translate it as a choir or a chorus. And it's the same word found in verse 27 when it says both with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, same Hebrew word as the phrase in verse 31, great company of them that gave thanks. Not the great part, company of them that gave thanks. It was a great multitude. And here they were. Nehemiah appointed these groups, he says, two of them, two big groups, to give thanks to God. Many times we find ourselves without the joy of the Lord. The question is, are you thankful? Try giving thanks to God. Start giving thanks to God for everything. In everything, give thanks. It is not happy people who are thankful. It is thankful people who are happy. I like that. Of course, I don't know which one is the chicken and which one is the egg, right? But he said it's not happy people who are thankful. It is thankful people who are happy. And I don't know how can you be happy and not be thankful. I guess it's impossible to separate the two of them. In conclusion, I gave you five helps. I'm going to just give them to you as a review. Number one, overcome the default setting of discontentment. Number two, see what God has done, the big and the small, and thank Him. Number three, be thankful even in adversity. Thank God for people in your life. And number five, let thankfulness rekindle your joy. And I'm going to conclude with Hebrews 13, verse 15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks
to His name. You don't have to sing a tune perfectly in tune to give praises to God with your lips. I'm glad for good musicians that we have. I'm glad for good singers that we have here. But I miss that one. That doesn't mean I don't need to praise God. That means that I need to praise Him. Even if I have to do it in the woods by myself where nobody can hear me, I'm going to praise God. Because that's what He's giving thanks to His name is the sacrifice that He wants from our lives. Let's learn to be grateful, improve our character, and God will bless each one of us. God bless you.